then, and whatever else the Lord lays on your heart, when we have a chance to pray here in a moment. But we'll start tonight by looking into the Psalms. If you'd open your Bible with me to Psalm 120. I thought it was interesting that we sang 121, and I'll tell you why I think that's interesting in just a moment. Did we send out an email about 3 this afternoon or so, 3:30? Did anybody get that? Anybody have a chance to read it yet? Okay, good. Because that's what we're sharing. We're going to share it with you, what we shared with the other bit of the church that couldn't come tonight. And it's about this Psalm 120. Who has, over before the psalm starts, this title, A Song of Ascents? Okay, just everybody? Virtually? Okay, do you know what that means? This is considered by many, this is the first psalm of this group, and it goes all the way through 130, I believe, 34. So there's 15 psalms here. Did I do that right, Roy Dean? Is that right? That math? Doesn't matter. If you start looking at it, there's this thought of ascending, and it's held by many to be that this is a group of psalms/songs that would be sung on the way to Jerusalem as they went up for their feast. You know, the Jews were supposed to go up 3 times a year. They had this feast and that and the other. And this was programmed in vacations. You know, this is what God had for them to do. And 3 times a year they go up and spend at least a week there in Jerusalem, and they are often glorious, glorious meetings. Then they go home glad of heart. But as they went, they had some things to sing and some things to express to God. Songs that were songs of ascending. You always go up to Jerusalem. You never go down to it. You always go up to it. Doesn't matter where you live, you're going up to Jerusalem. Now that's telling right there, isn't it? You're going up to Jerusalem. Every time we're in the Spirit, we're rising, my friends. We're not sinking below this earth. We're in the Spirit like John. We find ourselves being caught up. And so it was for these people. Our Hebrew brethren, they would sing as they went up to Jerusalem. Now, this particular psalm, well, let's just read it, Psalm 120. In my trouble I cried to the Lord, and he answered me. Deliver my soul, O Lord, from lying lips, from a deceitful tongue. What shall be given to you, and what more shall be done to you, you deceitful tongue? Sharp arrows of the warrior with the burning coals of the broom tree. Woe is me, for I sojourn in Meshech, for I dwell among the tents of Kedar. Too long has my soul had its dwelling with those who hate peace. I am for peace, but when I speak, they are for war. Now this is the posture of someone. Well, let me just read some of what I sent out this afternoon. It states a longing, this psalm does. It states a longing to be in the Lord's presence. It also expresses a weariness of living at a distance from Jerusalem. You see the reference there to Meshech and then to Kedar. And he says, I've been there too long. And so it's the expression of someone who's lived at a distance from Jerusalem. Meshech is off to the far north, and Kedar is way down in the far south. And so you've got someone who, because of whatever reason, he is dwelling here or dwelling there. It's just the picture of the saint who is dwelling at some distance from Jerusalem. And these alien places, well, they held alien people. And they were deceitful and they were warlike. What does he say? He speaks of lying lips in verse 2 and a deceitful tongue. He speaks in verse 6 of those who hate peace. He says, I'm for peace, but when I speak, they are for war. Have you seen that in your society? People that, regardless what you say, they just want to do battle with you. Well, this is not an uncommon experience and not a new one. It's been around ever since saints have been on the earth. there's been this resistance to them, and this is what he feels, and this is what he's saying. And so living among these people was a burden to this fella, whoever wrote this. Now, he's honest with us. He says, look at verse 1, and this is sweet. In my trouble, I cried out to the Lord. So whether you're in the land of Meshach, whether you're dwelling in the tents of Kedar, you can still pray. And what does he say? God can still hear you in those places. And he answered me. Now, this is honest of the fellow. But also, he's just saying, I could wish to be in Jerusalem. Now, we take this to be a picture of the saint who's living in the world, but he feels down in his bones or her bones that he's not of it. You're in the world, but you're not of the world. And the world, rather, is kind of rubbing you sort of raw. And I won't ask a showing of hands how many have been rubbed raw by the world, because I believe it's a common experience. Well, his longing is to be there in Jerusalem, God's capital city, and to be among God's dear people, men and women who see things eye to eye, men and women who have a common love, men and women who are not warlike, men and women who will not lie. And he longs to be among like-minded people. Now, for us, as you look at such a psalm, and as you read that psalm, did you think, what are we going to talk about? My goodness. But look again at it and think upon it. And really, I think it could be an expression of ours when we long for the Sabbath day, or when we desire Christian fellowship. We want to see a brother or a sister, and we're not there yet, and we're just being pressed and squeezed by the world. Or maybe we have hopes for better days, glorious days, days of revival, and we'd love to see the Spirit poured out again. Or maybe sometimes it's even the longing for our heavenly home. I'm here. God's with me. He answers my prayer. But oh, to stand on that crystal sea mixed with fire. Oh, to have a harp of God. Oh, to sing unfettered and to praise God with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Sometimes we feel this way. Now, our ambition has been all along to write songs for every one of these psalms, and that we would have our own traveling songs, if you will. This is the first one of the bunch. We just sang 121 a while ago. We haven't sung 122 in a while, but it's got some length to it. There's nothing for 123 yet, nothing that I've written. 124, we've got such a good song for that, there's nothing need be done. So we've got a pretty good start. But now this psalm right here kind of gets us going. There is a progression in these psalms. If you start right there and watch this guy, he's just feeling like, I've got to go. And you get to Psalm 121. All right, I'm going to lift up my eyes to the mountains. Where's my help come from? He's getting closer. My help comes from the Lord. You get to Psalm 122, and he's there. And it's just a burst of praise. Our feet are standing within your gates. Oh, Jerusalem. And then the rest of it are things that you might ponder about and sing about and think upon and pray over while you're in Jerusalem. And then at the very end, you've got the man leaving and he's saluting the night watchers. The Lord bless you. He who made heaven and earth. And all of that. It's we hope. God give us enough breath and time and skill. We will, in probably a couple of decades, get all that done. I say that with a bit of blushing because old Charles Wesley wrote over 6,000 hymns. Now, they're not all as good as Hark the Herald Angels Sing or Christ the Lord Is Risen Today, but they're all good. The point is, he was always writing something, and verses were always coming to him. Well, I mean, you've got your words right in front of you. What we thought we would do, and this is what we tried, and we being Ryan and myself, we listened to this CD in the shop. It's of Swedish folk songs. Ryan has already shared a Christmas hymn that he wrote set to one of the tunes that we loved. And this is the other tune that we really did like, and we thought it would match this psalm with its sense of longing and yearning, it would match it beautifully. All right. Do you have in your hands the wording of this? We've changed a little bit. We've not said every single word. We've had to try to make it as metrical as we could. And then we've added a little bridge about three-fourths the way down or so. And that bridge is taken from a psalm, what is it, Psalm 84? I don't have the copy where it's written. The fourth verse is from Psalm 42, as is the final fifth verse from Psalm 42. And we've added those because it captures the same thing. This is no unique experience to this fellow. Saints have felt this for a long time, and they've expressed it in different ways throughout the Scripture. And I thought it was interesting that there was these similar sentiments coming up from different places in the Songbook of God. Let me just read through the words for you. In all my troubles I cried to the Lord, and he answered me. Deliver my soul from lying lips, O Lord, from the tongue of deceit. What more shall be given? What more shall be done to you, you tongue of deceit? Sharp arrows of war, all skillfully loosed, and coals from the burning broom tree. Too long have I dwelt in the land of Meshech, too long in the tents of Kedar. Whenever I speak, my words are for peace. Whenever they speak, they're for war. My tears are my food while they ask me all day, where, oh, where is your God? These things I recall and pour out my soul. When shall I come before God? Now, do you have a pencil? Okay, get down here to the bridge and underline the first word, how. Go to the second line, underline the word soul. Go to the third line, underline the word heart. And the fourth line, underline the word how. This is a little bit tough. We're going to wrestle with learning this, but those are the main beats. That's the downbeat right there. I've given you the how, and you get to the second line is my soul. Soul is the downbeat. The third line is heart. My heart is the downbeat. And then the fourth line, how, is the downbeat again. The next section on the bridge, I underline that. Second line, dwell, underline. The third line, for, and the fourth line, than. All right, this is how the bridge goes. How lovely are thy dwelling places, O Lord of hosts. My soul has longed and even yearned for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh both sing unto the living God. How blessed are they who dwell within thy house, O Lord. I would rather stand at the threshold of the house of God than dwell all my days within the tents of wickedness. For a single day within thy courts is better to me than 1,000 days outside spent away from thee. And the final verse, why are you sunk down in despair, O my soul? Why are you disturbed within me? Have hope in your God. You'll praise him again. His presence shall comfort thee. And so we end as Psalm 42 ends, with a note of victory. All right. What kind of makes sense is, let me sing it for you through once, and then we'll all try it together. How about that? And Ryan and I kind of worked on this afternoon. Anytime you want to kick in, brother, go ahead. In all of my troubles, I cried to the Lord, and he answered me. Deliver my soul from lying lips, O Lord, from the tongue of deceit. What more shall be given? What more shall be done to you, you tongue of deceit? Sharp arrows of war, all skillful.
in the tents of Kedar. Whenever I speak, my words are for peace. Whenever they speak, they're for war. My tears are my food while they ask me all day. I recall and pour out my soul. When shall I come before God? How lovely are thy dwelling places, O Lord of hosts. My soul has longed and
a couple of lines, as you can probably tell. We think, is it worth singing? I got one thumb up back there.